Coming up on the Rokan Show. Ed Obradovich will be here at the end of this hour talking about the Bears and the NFL draft. You just heard Kevin talking about the NFL draft and 170 cameras being put in the private residences of team general managers. I can just only imagine what that is going to look like tonight on the television. We just have to wait and see, I suppose. And we will talk to OB, right, welcoming him back to the show after his long layoff since the Bears season ended. I think what, Kev, I think in October is when the Bears season
ended. Yeah, it sounds about right.
Last year, yeah. But right now, the big story in Chicago and in the state of Illinois is that the governor has extended the stay-at-home order until the 30th of May. Damn near till June 1st. And that is just an extension. We don't know where it goes from there. That's a big question. So we already know the schools have been canceled for the rest of the year. We already know that summer camps are in question. We already know that people have been spending, in Illinois at least, the last month, maybe 5 weeks, in some cases 6 weeks, in their home, sheltering in place with their family, with their spouses, with their family. And now they're looking down the barrel at least that much more time ahead of them. Are we halfway through? What are we going to do about this? Dr. John Duffy is with us, clinical psychologist, life coach, parenting expert, author of Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. We talked to Dr. Duffy last week about a lot of these issues, and now we're going to talk to him again. And, doctor, thank you so much for being with us. We're going to take your phone calls, too, at 312-981-7200 if you need help with your family at this moment. Let's just deal with what we have right in front of us, Dr. Duffy. We got at least another month to go of this. How are people going to make it through?
Yeah, already I am hearing from families who are concerned about this. And I think there are a couple things that families are going to be running into. And it's all a matter of degree, but the degree is increasing as time goes on. More and more parents and kids are seeing the future as increasingly bleak. And the way that looks in families is they are not coping very well already. We haven't even begun this second month. And already I'm hearing, oh, we're finding alcohol bottles under the bed, or our kids are sneaking out to see their friends at night, or we're starting to see signs of drug use. So a lot of the things that maybe we had a little bit of a honeymoon period at the front end of this, that's over. And I think we're going to start seeing some households really fragment unless we really decide what battles we're going to pick here and what battles we're just going to drop.
Well, you just laid out a couple of dire battles. These are the battles that are the worst nightmares for parents, right? Whether it's drugs or sex or alcohol or whatever it happens to be. And that's that, you know, especially for parents of teenagers. And, you know, as we talked about this last week, you know, the adult nature of the children starts at about eight. Now, you know, the sex part and the drugs and the alcohol, not so much, but at least they seem to be very aware, and they're starting to formulate whatever that trajectory is at 8 or 9 years old toward what they're going to be like at 13, 14, and 15, which is the danger zone, if I can just use that term. So the question for you, doctor, and I know people will be able to tell their stories at 312-981-7200, is what are the warning signs and what do you do immediately? What are the battles? What are the hills to die on? What are the hills not to die on?
Yeah. I love that. I love both those questions. So what you want to watch out for is any dramatic change in behavior in your child in the next few weeks, days, months. So that would look like suddenly he or she is in her room all the time. They are secretive more so than usual. And they actually, a lot of kids will overtly tell their parents these days, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling anxious, I'm feeling some degree of hopelessness. So if you watch out for those things, along with the typical signs of any kind of substance use or abuse, or sneaking out, then you've got at least a bead on whether you're in a safe enough zone. And for these days, the way I'm seeing it, Ro, if we're in a safe enough zone, I think that's where we're headed here. That's what we want to maintain. We're not looking for perfection out of families. We're not looking for perfect behavior out of kids. I just don't think that's reasonable.
All right, well, I want to stop you, Doctor. I want to stop you. When you say safe enough zone, what does that mean? What is safe enough?
Safe enough means my child is not at risk in a dramatic way for clinical depression. That doesn't mean he or she doesn't have moments where they're down, and the distinction is that it sustains itself for a long period of time, and it is noticeable. And this is the kind of thing, just as a note for parents here, this is the kind of thing you will notice. You'll see a shift in your kid's behavior. It might not be just that they seem down. They might seem super edgy or really irritable, or they might just check out and isolate altogether. So any dramatic change in behavior is worth reaching out to somebody in my profession and at least gut checking, am I in a safe enough zone? So if you're not sure, absolutely reach out to a qualified therapist who works with your child's age group to make sure.
Okay. All right, Dr. Duffy, stay right there. Don't move. We're going to take phone calls at 312-981-7200. In your household, if you have teenagers, or you have even littler kids, but primarily teenagers, or maybe you've got kids who were at college, now they're back home from college. That's a big deal, too. That's a moment, man, because they've already left the nest and they think that they know everything, and then they are back. And the schooling at home, that's its own set of stresses. But now, as you said, in your own practice, you're starting to really see some things. So let's get to the phones at 312-981-7200. And here is Melissa. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hi, Ro. First, I just want to say your counsel and coverage has just been such a lifesaver. Thank you so much for all you do.
Well, thank you.
Truly. And Dr. Duffy, my question is this. I'm a mom of a teen, single mom, and his whole life, if he's had questions, I've either A, been able to answer them, or B, find an answer for him. And I don't have an answer, and it's starting to, I can see it, it's starting to give him a real sense of fear and insecurity because I don't have an answer. And I'm wondering if you can sort of help me find some language that would help him through the fact that his parent just really is at a loss for that.
Yeah. You know, Melissa, I'm so glad that you asked that question because I am being asked that very question over and over again. And I think it's particularly hard when you're a single parent trying to get through to a teen. And one thing I'll remind parents is I've got so much bad news here for parents of teenagers and young adults and even kids as young as eight, as Ro was saying, but you can reason with your kids and they do understand a lot of what's going on here. So I am certain that your teenager has some bead on what's going on and recognizes that you couldn't possibly be able to tell them with any degree of certainty what tomorrow or the next day looks like, or certainly not what a month from now or 6 weeks from now looks like. So what I found to be helpful for the parents and the families that I'm working with is if they all recognize together, like, yeah, we're not sure where exactly this path is leading, but none of us is on this path alone. So we are going to sort this through and figure this out together. And the only handy part of this quarantine might be the fact that we are together. So to your teen's point, they have you and you have them, and you can work this through together and talk about it, even if it's just for 5 minutes a day, every day. I'm finding that if a parent can get a teen's attention for just a few minutes a day, you can calm the anxiety down precipitously. So I encourage you to grab a little bit of time, but don't expect a lot. But if you get a little bit of the time every day and you're really clear, like, you're right, I am uncertain, but we will navigate this uncertainty together, that's about as much comfort, I think, as you can reasonably give your teenager.
Okay, well, let me ask you. Melissa, hold on. I know you've got a question there, but I think I'm going to just jump because a lot of people are thinking this exact thing. Well, if you're uncertain, aren't you going to scare your kid more?
No, well, I get that thinking, Ro. But what I'm finding with kids is if you give your kids the impression that you know something you don't know, and kids are super discerning. They have access to so much data and information. So if you hedge and you tell them, yes, I am certain that a month from now, things will start to get back to normal, they're going to know that you are selling them a little bit of a bill of goods. And in my experience, anxiety goes up, not down. If you acknowledge your uncertainty, they'll at least know, okay, I'm getting a straight answer. I'm getting a straight scoop from mom and dad. I can breathe through that, even if it's not what I want to hear.
Melissa, what do you think about that?
Yeah, we do talk a lot. And I see him waning. I see him sort of slipping away. He's super insecure. He's very anxious. And I'm kind of just at a loss, but I will continue to just talk to him and tell him that just because I don't know, doesn't mean that has to be a scary thing. And, you know, I'm here, I got you, you've got me. Yeah, you know, they don't have to be little to still have that kind of, you know, when a little kid falls and they look to you, do I cry or do I not cry, depending on your facial reaction or whatever. It's very similar. And, you know, I'm trying to walk that line the best I can.
It really is.
If I can throw one other thought in here, Ro, Melissa, you can also talk about those little areas where you do have some control. So in other words, you can control the pace of your household day to day. You can control wake-up times, bedtimes, when things get done, when work gets done. And just a little bit of structure and control might give your teenager a little breathing space, and you as well. So you might try that, too.
That's great.
Melissa, again, how old is your child?
He's 16.
16, okay. Is he going through school now? I mean, is he doing the Zoom classes and all that?
He is trying. There's some cognitive issues there, so it makes it all the more challenging.
So, yeah, kids that have audio sequencing, especially, are, you know, that kids that hear things in a different sequence than their peers might be hearing them. That is auditory sequencing is what they call that. That's a totally different world for these kids who have to be a part of this, and. There's really no way to because I, you know, I've been through this as an individual and as a parent and all of that, and I totally understand how frustrating and scary that can be for everybody who's involved in it, because I think the kids don't even fully understand exactly what's going on at that moment. They're like, you know, what's wrong with me? And even though it's simple, and in a lot of cases it's not that they grow out of it, but they come up with their own coping mechanisms to sort of work around it. And you can't do that. And teachers can do that in a classroom. They cannot do that on a Zoom chat, right? It is not working for them. And it's very, it's just such a unique time. And I guess that's the other thing, Doctor, that maybe we should leave people with too, which is that, you know, this is not going to last forever. Eventually, people are going to go back to some semblance of normalcy. It won't be exactly the same thing, but it's going to be not like this forever. And how do we, you know, tell Melissa and tell all the other parents who are listening right now to confer that to their kids?
Yeah, I think you can be just that clear about it. I love the way you were just talking about it now, that, you know, we don't know exactly how long this is going to last, but the longer that we shelter in place, the more likely it is to come sooner rather than later. But certainly this isn't going to last forever. And you know, we will facilitate any learning that you need to do in the meantime so that you are not too far behind. Even if you learn differently, like you were talking about just a moment ago, I am encouraging parents to drop the bar of what they expect their kids to actually integrate and learn. As long as they're trying for a little while every day, that will get them far enough along so that once things return to something that feels a little bit more like normal, they'll be able to fall right back into where they were, and the classroom will feel a lot more normal for them. So, I think I would just convey the message, just like you are, Ro, that, hey, this is not a forever thing. This is a temporary thing. So we can kind of take this whole period of time and almost move it aside in our minds and recognize this is just a prolonged temporary, but our permanent is going to look a lot more like what we used to be doing.
Yeah. Melissa, I really feel for you. Good luck with all of this. And if you need anything,
thank you so much.
You know, feel free to call us back. All right.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Oh, thank you, Melissa. Good luck.
Dr. Thanks. John Duffy, clinical psychologist, life coach, parenting expert, author of Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. And, John, before we let you go, I want to go back through those things we were talking about a few minutes ago before we spent some time with Melissa. If kids are more withdrawn, and they're going to be more withdrawn now because now they're like all of us, like the adults are learning, we've got 35 more days in Illinois, at least, of a shutdown similar to the one that we have, with the exception of a couple of businesses being opened up, golf courses. That's not going to really help a lot of families necessarily. It may help some, but not a lot. So what are some of the other strategies that you can use to try to get kids back engaged and not get so emotionally and physically distant?
Yeah. So what I'm encouraging parents to do is to really step back and consider, what do I want for my child here? I want them to feel some degree of control over their atmosphere, and their world. And I want them to feel some hope for the future. So part of our job as parents is to keep our own emotions in check, our own fears, our own judgments, our own egos, so that we can provide as clear a path for our kids as is reasonably possible given the circumstances. And I cannot emphasize enough that providing some degree of hope for the future, like you're saying, hey, it's not always going to be like this. Kids need to be reminded of that frequently, because as these deadlines pass, right, it no longer is it the end of this month, it's the end of the next month, and we don't know what happens after that. Kids are expressing that the future looks darker and darker to them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a worst-case scenario for my profession and for parents. So if we can create some degree of light, there's light at the end of this tunnel, that is mighty parenting, and you are absolutely doing your job if that's all you convey to your kids.
I like what you said at the beginning of this, too, is that there's nothing perfect about it. There's no way to make this perfect. So if you're doing, okay is good enough, despite what AT&T has been trying to tell us. Okay, in this case, is good enough. All right, Dr. Duffy, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much, Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist, life coach, parenting expert, and author of Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety.